Well, Mike Bickle, it's great to have you back on Charisma News to talk about this Isaiah 62 fast. We talked before the fast began, leading up to it, to try to get people involved with it. And now the fast has completed its 21 days. It went from June 7th to June 28th. And we're recording this, May 7th to May. Let me start over because that's where we're at the beginning here.
Good. Start over, yeah.
Mike Bickle, it's great to have you back on Charisma News to talk about this Isaiah 62 fast that God called you to lead and get started and to promote. It started on May 7th and went to May 28th, and now it's June 1st. And so I want to hear what God did during this time. I know we talked about it before to try to get people to join and to be a part of this praying for Israel. So, brother, what has happened? I want to hear results from this because I know you've had a watchful eye on this whole process. So fill us in on what God did over these last 21 days.
Well, first, I would appreciate your support and the whole Charisma family. Steve and Joy, you guys jumped in day one and helped get the word out. It really made a big difference. It really did. Made a number of phone calls and other people called. And so I want to say thank you for that. Of course, you did it for the Lord because you see, you've got insight into his purposes for Israel, but still in the human arena. Thank you. It's a huge help.
Absolutely. And anytime somebody calls for a corporate fast, I mean, our ears perk up because we know that these are very biblical things, and it's not just a personal thing. It is a national, it is an international, it is the kingdom of God in action together in unity. And we know that the Bible says that how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, and unity commands a blessing. And so you get this massive amount of people in unity praying for one specific thing or one specific region. And I had, before we had our conversation earlier, I had no idea that Israel was in such potential turmoil and leading up to this time. So let's talk about what happened in Israel in the natural, and then let's kind of talk about in the spiritual and maybe just connect those dots for us.
Okay, good. Yes, excellent. And I'm like you, when we first called this fast, it was March 7th. So 12 weeks before, it ends on May 28th. We were not aware of any great crisis in Israel. It was the leaders in Israel who said, are you aware of what's going on? And I honestly said, a little bit, but not much. And they said, we're on the verge of a civil war, and it's probably going to happen. Praise God, it has not happened, but the conversation is not over right now. Here at the beginning of June, they're still fully engaged in the conversation. So no, we don't know where that's going. And they said, and Iran will have a nuclear weapon probably by the end of May. Well, it's June, and we can't be for sure they have it, but if not, they're a week or two or three or four away, or they do have it, we don't know. So those are two giant negativities, but just an overview of the fast. First, well over 5 million Gentiles across the earth said, yes, I want to commit to pray 1 hour a day for 21 days in the month of May. And so we don't know how many actually did the full hour. We don't care. That's bigger than our database.
Yeah.
But they said yes. And we have I started a new website called Isaiah 62 Fast, or just Isaiah62.com. And we said that website is not an IHOP website. It's not for anybody to promote their ministry. It's mostly as a directory. If you want people in your area to know about your ministry and you're doing this, but you got to commit to do it for an hour a day. Put your name on it. We have 12,000 names.
Wow.
We could not fathom that. We were.
And you're talking not just individual names, but names of ministries that are saying we're going to be a hub. We're going to be a place where we're promoting this with our people of influence, our circle of influence.
Yes.
And I know my church, Nations Church, did that. And they made announcements about it on Sunday mornings and encouraged people to do that. So,
yeah, not individuals. Individuals wanted to sign up. I go, no, we don't want a database of individuals. Yeah. If you want to sign up and your ministry wants you to, do that locally. That's not about us. We're just trying to let people around the world know ministries that are doing it. Like you said, they would be a hub of activity they would mobilize it in their area. So 12,000 ministries did this, which was very mind-blowing to us.
Yeah,
we would have thought 1,000 would have been amazing, historic. It's in over 120 nations and well over 100 languages. And I don't know the exact counts because we're really doing the praying and fasting. I just got so weary. My tech team would tell me stuff. I go, you know what? I don't even care. It's just, it is what it is. Leave me alone right now. I didn't really say leave me alone. Yeah. I didn't care because we were tired, because here at IHOP, we devoted all 24 hours a day, every prayer meeting, every 2-hour prayer meeting.
Wow.
That's 12 a day. That's 84 a week. That's 252 in 3 weeks. 252 with 2-hour prayer meetings, all for Israel. We've never done anything like that.
Wow.
And I thought, and I even warned our people, I said, this could get boring. I just was being straight honest.
Right.
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't unbelievable, but it was not boring. I just thought it would be. Hmm. And the reason it wasn't, because we have every 2-hour prayer meetings led by a worship team of about 10 people. And you get anointed singers and musicians. It makes a boring prayer meeting not boring. I mean, it was so moving because of the music.
Right.
So the music kept going. And we had an open mic, and then the prayer on the open mic would interface with the music, and the music would respond to the prayer. Like we'd say, Lord, release your glory. Then they would sing, release your glory, or something a little more creative than that typically. Yeah. But it would be
a good example, though.
Back and forth. So my point of saying that, we did it so intense that I'm weary. So even to this day, I don't know what all the stats are, but those were the stats they gave me the last couple of days. But I don't care. That's between God and his people. But the fact is, nothing like this has ever happened in history before. I talked to a number of leaders in Israel who, you know, and even there's a house of prayer statisticians or prayer movement statistic guys.
Okay.
They know how many prayer networks in South Africa. They know how many in Europe. I mean, I don't know how on earth you would keep up with that, but they do. And so I asked different groups, and they said, I said, has there ever been a time where 10,000 Gentiles prayed for Israel for 10 straight days in a concerted effort that we know of? And each person I asked said, no, there's not even a hint of that. Mm. So not 10,000 people for 10 days, then 5 million for 21 days. And then, again, those are low numbers, I'm guessing.
Right.
I'm guessing it's quite a bit more than that, but they said there's nothing like this in history. So if that's true, and I did lots and lots of Zoom calls with different languages, Portuguese, you know, your wife's from Brazil, did a number in Portuguese. Brazil really jumped in. A bunch of Latin America with Spanish speaking, quite a few Zoom calls with networks with hundreds of ministries representing, you know, like in Brazil, 7 million believers under 100 mega ministries that are all on the Zoom call. And in Latin America, it'd be 100 ministries, but mega ministries mostly, it's 5 million believers under them. And they were all going, we're all in, which never means, because humans are humans, never means right,
exactly.
All. But when they said we're all in, I only counted 10% because I wanted real numbers. They said, no, when we call it our people, they go with us. I go, well, I'll say 10% max, and because I know humans. And then same with Romania, same in Italy. We did it in Japan, a whole network of Japanese believers. We're all the way in China. Of course, China, all over China. They're in Russia, Ukraine and Russia, two different situations, two different sets of networks, two different groups of repeated Zoom calls with two different groups there. Wow.
So Poland, this was not just the American church that was calling to pray for it. It was the international worldwide body of Christ praying.
Uganda, Kenya, yes, they had thousands. I quit doing Zoom calls with Americans. I told Americans, go hear one of the recordings if you care. Because Americans were coming a lot. You know, a bunch of Baptists, I just said, go hear a Zoom call. You don't need me on it. Just go do your... You know what? You're smart. Go do what you want to do. Because the international community was so responding. Lots in New Zealand, Australia, quite a few Zoom calls there. Lots of national networks. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off that long on all that, but
no, that's okay. That's okay. It's good to see this, the scope of what God said to do and how you can see when his anointing is on something and he spoke it, you can see just how it blossomed in such a quick period of time. And you saw around the world that people were grabbing a hold of this and praying specifically for the nation of Israel. Brother, what were some of the things that came out of this? I mean, was there any way of reporting testimonies? I know that you're probably still gathering a lot of this stuff too.
A little bit. I mean, because the thing with prayer, as you know, you're a prayer guy, prayer is invisible. You can't measure it. And often the impact a month, a year, and a 10 years later, you go, oh my goodness. Because the shifts happen in ways you can't tell the day after. Yeah. You know, if somebody gets prayed for and they're sick and their body gets healed that day, it's easy. He was sick. He is now healed. They laid hands on him. Wow. But shifting of nations is a little more nuanced and complicated and hidden. But one of the points I was going to make when I was saying all these nations are responding is that the common statement, which I said at first, but I quit saying it at the end, people would say, this is so exciting. And I started this call March 7th. So I did it for 12 weeks. And the first 4 or 5 weeks, when the numbers were, the response was unbelievable, I was like, this is exciting. Then about the last 5 or 8, 10 weeks, I went, wait a second. This is alarming more than exciting. Wait, if this has never happened, this many Gentiles pray for Israel, why is it happening? I shifted my question to end this amazing to why are you doing this for the first time in human history? Oh my goodness. This isn't entirely good news. I mean, it is in one sense, because heaven is making a preemptive strike in the spirit.
Wow.
And, but obviously even if there's an alarm because God did it, there's also a release of glory because God did it too.
Amen. Amen.
And we get the glory part, and that's the part we like to focus on. And I got a little bit on that. But the alarm is what I started really asking, because Daniel chapter 10, you know, you would know this, and some of your viewers would know Daniel 10. It's very famous, but many don't know Daniel 10. So I'll give 30 seconds on it. Daniel goes on this 21-day fast in Daniel chapter 10, and this mighty angel on day 21 breaks in and manifests himself to Daniel. Daniel's in his 80s. This angel says, Daniel, paraphrase, he goes, I'm so glad you didn't quit praying, because I was sent by the Lord on day one, says in verse 12 and 13, Daniel 10. The Lord said, yes, go. I came day one. But the demonic principality of Persia, which we know is modern day Iran, stopped me. Now, that's a weird idea, that a demonic hierarchy of the highest level could stop angels at a certain level.
Yeah,
that's a whole discussion for another day, but many believe that, and that verse pretty clearly is what it's saying. He said, but because you kept praying, Michael came and pushed back. It didn't say push back, those are my terms, this demonic principality of Persia, or hindered this demonic principality. And then the angel goes, now I broke through because Michael came, because you didn't stop. Well, here's the interesting thing. We know Persia, ancient Persian, is modern day Iran, although ancient Persia was bigger than that, but that's the core.
Right.
Iran has only been a world power 2 times in recorded history. 6,000 years, only 2 times, beginning in the generation of Daniel, when Daniel was talking about. And it was only 60 years later that the Esther, you know, Haman, the prime minister of Persia, wanted to destroy all the Jewish people. So that's even the same generation, nearly, as it's, you know, it's a 60-year mark, 50 years, some say. But Persia was a world power for about 200 years plus. Then for 2,500 years or 2,000 years, whatever, till today, they've not been a world power. Mm-hmm. They had a national empire from 200 to 600 AD, but it was never a world power. And Israel wasn't even in the land. They were already scattered to the nations after 70 AD. So only 2 times in history has Iran been a world power to attack Israel, in Daniel's day, and he had 21 days of prayer and fasting and stopped it. And today it's 5 million member corporate Daniel, and Iran's got a nuclear weapon. So it's we didn't even put that together until about halfway in this. I went, wait a second. This is a corporate Daniel 10 because we're all on this 21-day fast. Some did it way more intense than others, but that's none of my business. But it's a corporate 21-day Gentile Daniel standing before Iran, who is not threatening to hurt Israel, promising to hurt Israel. Right. We will destroy you. And when they get enriched uranium at 90%, they will have a nuclear weapon. And a lot of the authorities are saying they're at 88 or 89% today. They were actually that far along in May. So we don't know that final 1%. If they got it, they don't. It's a week away, a month away. But Iran has a nuclear weapon with a public promise to destroy Israel. So the Daniel 10 story happened again. So the fact they've been pushed back, what if Iran has a meltdown of their government because their government's being challenged by the people? What if they have a cave-in of some sort? I am sure somewhere these 5 million believers praying for 21 days, because Daniel stopped it 2,500 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because it hadn't been stopped yet, but I'm just thinking, Lord, I know there's pushback coming from the government against each other. I go, Lord, what if you just stirred that up some more? And, you know, because demons don't like demons. You know, it's not like they're all buddies. They fight each other. I don't know that much about it, so I don't want to pretend like I do. But so that's one thing that could happen. Another thing that happened is that May 1st, all over the headlines, they said civil war is imminent because of the judicial reform. Mm-hmm. And on May 1st, it was because of Passover. I'm just saying May 1st, it could have been, you know, April 30th. But the Passover, the Knesset was in real division over the judicial reform. And all through March and April, they were saying very possibly a civil war, Jews against Jews. Again, that was new to me. I did not know that. But I checked out the internet and found out it was real. And John, just so you know, I saw over 25-minute clips on this. So I am now an expert on political dynamics of Israel. I am an internet expert. I've seen over 25-minute ones. So
That's great.
If you got questions, I'm your guy. Okay, just come right to me. No, I don't know much, but they were all saying it. That's all I'm about to say. And I don't know who lies and who exaggerates. That's way past my pay grade.
But if they're talking about it in the media, then they're talking about it in around the dinner table. And that's one of the things that you can always think about. It's like what happens in culture is also talking about in the home, and it's spreading. It's so whether it's real or not, it's something that's being talked about. It's something that's fear driven. And
two or three days before May 1st, thereabouts, 500,000 people gathered 2, 3, 4, 5 nights in a row. I forgot how many to protest Netanyahu. Wow. Then after May, somewhere in the early May, 500,000 protested for him. And so I go, this isn't, and they had pictures. I go, this is not a small issue.
No.
Because to get 500,000 in a protest when bombs are coming, because they shot 1,200 rockets from Gaza, you know, down over here, Gaza is Israel. Most know Israel, Gaza's up right over here in the corner.
Yeah.
They shot 1,200 rockets in 6 days. Is the report I got from statistician guys over there who said they know. Remarkable, out of 12,000 rockets. I mean, we're talking about just shooting over the state line. It's like, what? And out of 12,000 rockets, only 2 Israeli deaths.
Wow.
Out of 1,200 rockets. And many of them, the Iron Dome stopped. Many of them, very little damage ever hit the ground. And so Messianic believers, some pastors, you know, over Messianic congregations emailed me and said, something is happening. Mm. There are 1,200 rockets and only 2 deaths in 6 days. And they stopped it then.
Yeah.
And they were saying, thank you, body of Christ in the earth. So that slowed things down. The Iran might put a hold on this because of an implosion of or a strike in their government or something. Or Israel might do a preemptive strike. That's on the news day after day. Israel has to make a preemptive strike. I don't know. But more than that, well, I mean, those are really important. But my passion is Jesus be glorified, Yeshua. Yeah. And so I've heard Messianic pastors emailing. We're doing a lot of back and forth because lots of dialogue. They're saying more and more people are saying yes to the Lord. I don't mean thousands. I don't want to exaggerate. But there's a tenderness in their congregations.
Amen.
There's a grace on their children. Again, maybe it's easy to say and hard to validate. But there were encouraging reports of people coming to the Lord. But maybe they did before that. I don't know. So I don't have real data. But those reports were always very, very heartwarming to me. But we'll see, like in 6 months, how much of that is verifiable. But
still waiting to see some of the results that we can measure and that are a little bit tangible, whether they come through testimonies or other stories and reports. But I'm just reminded of something that my grandfather used to always say. He said, "You never know what you prevented, but you always know what you caused." And your obedience to do what God has said to do, to pray and to gather the body of Christ together to pray, you don't know what you prevented. But if you wouldn't have done that, you would have known what you've allowed. And so by standing up to this, by standing up and saying, we are going to pray just like Daniel did, we're going to follow his model, and we're going to do 21 days for Israel and gather the body of Christ, 5 million plus praying for this specific time in Israel. So we can see maybe God pulled things back at this point and God protected things at this point. We don't know specifically because you don't know what you prevented, but you know what you caused. And but Mike, thank you so much for doing this and leading this charge. My question for you now is, what's next?
Good. I'll do this real brief. I mentioned it to you before we started this call together, that if 5 million are praying for 1 hour a day in May, which I believe that's a fact, they each have two friends who love Jesus and love the Bible because they're believers. That means another 10 million are not praying necessarily for Israel, but they're now for the first time, many of them are in the conversation. What's the biblical narrative of Israel? My church never did Israel, many of them are saying. We never talk about it. We're not against it. We just never talk about it. So we had 5 million that prayed an hour a day, 10 million more saying, where's that in the Bible? And because if you ask the question, there's so much information in the Bible on it that if you ask the question, you run into it. Mm-hmm. But if you never ask the question, it just stays silent. Now, let me just jump forward one more time frame. 3 years from now, these are all hypothetical time frames to say no. Those 15 million each got three friends. Mm-hmm. And in the next 3 years, they're going to say, did you hear about that group in May 2023? They prayed, or they said they did an hour a day, 5 million. Are you kidding? So now these 15 million times three friends each, now we got 50 million going, what? What are you talking about? They go look at the website, 12,000 ministries. And then they go, what are you trying to say? We're supposed to do that? Because people almost always a little bit get defensive at first, which kind of plays into the narrative, actually. Well, who said I have to do that? Now, my church isn't wrong because we don't do it. And they go, well, let's read these verses. And they go, huh, when did that verse get in the Bible? There are so many passages that in IHOP, in our 24 years of IHOP, we've had near 25,000 people here in a full-time way. And out of these 25,000 staff, students, interns, 3 months or 3 years or 5 years, they're here. 90% when they came here said, my church didn't do Israel. And the encouraging is out of those 25,000 nearly, within 1 hour, when they saw these verses, they went, I never knew those verses were in there. It is a real easy shift because there's so much in the Bible on it.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason, because the church isn't against it, they're just silent on it because pastors don't talk about it. They don't talk against it. A few do. Most are just silent. But the good news is that 5 million talking about it now, Gentiles, at the end of May, 50 million in 3 years, made up number. Replacement theology is on its way out.
Amen.
Of the global conversation, the body of Christ. It's not out yet, but it's on a death march, and that's good. 10 years from now, I don't know, but replacement theology, that Goliath got a head wound in May 2023. 2023. And the gospel, I won't give a teaching on this, but there's teachings out there. The gospel makes it clear, the New Testament, the glory of God, when Gentiles pray for Jerusalem, the glory of God on Jerusalem directly affects the measure of glory on the body of Christ in the nations. Wow. When the Gentiles pray Israel, things happen and the glory of God increases. It absolutely impacts the nations in the spirit of revival. So the revival we're believing for, people call it the billion soul revival. Nobody knows the number, of course. That's a good number. It means it's big.
It's big.
That thing has been impacted by these 5 million praying for Israel. More is happening. It's coming back on the church and the nations.
Wow. And we can't wait to see the results of this. And I know I have no doubt that there will be other times where God says fast again, but now you've got 5 million plus that are ready to do this because they've seen what happened. And because fasting doesn't twist God's arm. It gets you aligned with his will.
Yes.
You're hearing his heart to pray and to intercede. And so you're not twisting God's arm to do something that you want to do. You're aligning your will with his will, and you are coming in agreement with that, and you will see results. And so now we've just had 5 million plus that have said yes to fasting, yes to prayer, and yes to praying for Israel. And so the next time that call comes and we blow that trumpet to call everybody to prayer, we know that we've got an army of prayer warriors that have been trained, that have been equipped, and they are ready to see what God wants to do next. Even though we might not see what the results are in earth, we will be able to see in heaven whenever God does show, because you prayed, this is what happened.
I want to say one more quick thing, and then I'll be done. That I'm so grateful for this 5 million, but I take a step back. Derek Prince preached on this starting 70 years ago. I just made up that number. John Hagee, thank you. I mean, 50 years when a lot were saying, why are you doing this? Jack Hayford and Robert Stearns, the Jerusalem Day of Prayer, first Sunday in October. Gwen Shaw, Pat Robertson and Chris Mitchell and TBN, Matt Crouch and Daystar. These guys are God TV, Ward Simpson, God TV, Ron Cantor. These guys holding the line year by year by year. And so we got this swirl in May, but we're standing on the shoulders of the John Hagees and the Jack Hayfords and the Charisma magazines over the last 50 years. So I need to always stop and say thank you to the Lord for that history that we're building on today.
Amen. Well, let's keep fasting, let's keep praying, and let's keep watching and waiting to see what God does next.
Since the ancient mystery that held the secret to America's future was first revealed to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, the Holy Spirit has continued to decode ancient biblical secrets. From the harbinger to the paradigm, from the book of mysteries to the return of the gods, Jonathan Kahn continues to shine the light on things to come. Prepare for what's next by reading these inspired books. Go to booksbyjonathankahn.com to collect all the mysteries revealed.